So good to be with you again, beloved. And since I won't be here for the rest of the year, Merry Christmas to you. You know, the Spirit of the Lord was and is moving in our meetings throughout this day, and we dwelt this morning on the sorrow of the Lord. The sorrow of the Lord. You know, when we think of this joyous season, we have to understand that Bethlehem was the beginning, because that event led to Golgotha's Hill, to Calvary, where the Son of God endured the cross for us. We want to examine this morning that place that we sing so much about, that central place where all these events happen. It's called Bethlehem. It's called Bethlehem. When the angels announced the birth of Christ, the shepherds were excited and they said the one to the other, "Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing, which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us in these days." I'm going to read to you, or let us read together, rather, from the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. I like to think of the reading here because this is so significant and it's so attached to the Christmas story, and we really sometimes we overlook it, but this story is attached to the Christmas story. What happened at Bethlehem? So we're going to read from the book of Ruth in chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 19. The background is there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem. A man by the name of Elimelech, he took his family to the country of Moab. His family was, Naomi was his wife, and they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. While there, the boys got married. But Elimelech died, and so did his sons. And now there were three widows. Verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. The Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Bethlehem, it means the house of bread. And the reason they are returning now to Bethlehem, because in the land of Moab, they heard that the Lord had visited his people with bread. There is bread again in Bethlehem. The house of bread, isn't that significant? You remember the Lord Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem, and he said, I am the bread of life. The place of his birth. But there is more to this place called Bethlehem. Sometimes we read in the Old Testament, it's called Ephrathah. It's the same place. And the first time we see this city mentioned, it was associated with sorrow. The first mention of Bethlehem speaks of sorrow. If you turn to Genesis in chapter 35, you'll find that. Sorrow and death. We find that Jacob, he had to bury the love of his life at a place called Ephrathah, which is Bethlehem. Genesis 35, somewhere around verse 19. It was there, this dear woman, and she is symbolized as the mother, Rachel, that is, as the mother of Israel. And when she had her son, her second son, she said, call him Benoni, call him the son of my sorrow. She gave birth to this baby boy who later became Benjamin. And then she died. She died right there in Bethlehem, right there in Ephrathah. And Jacob had to bury her. Not only is Bethlehem the house of bread, not only in its first mention we find that it's associated with sorrow, but it's also the city of motherhood. It was there where Rachel, she sorrowed and she gave birth. And we need to look at that because it all ties into what happened at Bethlehem. It continued to be a city of sorrow. So when the wise men came and they inquired of the Christ child, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And Herod heard that. And he wanted to know what time the star appeared. He called in the scribes and he inquired of them. And they were able to give him a biblical account, the prophetic word where the Christ should be born, in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. And this, which should have been a joyous occasion, continued to be something of sorrow and pain. Because he said he wanted to worship the Christ child, but in fact he wanted to destroy him. And the wise men, they were warned of God, that's in Matthew chapter 2, they should not return to Herod after they had found the Christ child. But look at the sorrow that he inflicted when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men. Chapter 2 of Matthew. And we'll find motherhood playing a part again. In Matthew in chapter 2, verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, and he was exceedingly angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all its borders, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah, and that's in that neighborhood, was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and a great mourning. Rachel, here she comes. Rachel, weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. They are no more. They are dead. And some believe these mothers of Bethlehem who had lost their children, they had to cross over the grave because she was buried there in the road in Ephrathah, weeping for their children, and she, in symbol, weeping with them. Bethlehem, first mention, a place of sorrow, sadness, tears, mothers weeping for their children. And that was a massacre. That was, we don't have a number, but all the children, 2 years old and under, in that region, that Edomian despot, he took their lives. Because he felt threatened by the king that was born. Bethlehem, a place of sorrow. So when Simeon, that aged man that God had made a promise to, that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, he took that babe in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. A joyous occasion mingled with sorrow. For said he to Mary, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This son, this glorious son, will die. And you will feel that sword through your own soul. Oh, we remember when Mary stood there at the cross of Jesus, he talked to her, woman, behold your son. Behold your son. Sorrow. That's how Bethlehem began. It began as a place of sorrow, as we read in God's word. First mention, Bethlehem, a place of sorrow. But it was more than the place of sorrow. Bethlehem was a place where God showed his sovereignty. It was a place of sovereignty, where God's sovereign will was unfolded. It was at Bethlehem. If it was just for Naomi, then Ruth would have gone back to Moab. She had already convinced Orpah to go back. And Ruth was clinging to her. You ever wonder why? Ruth was clinging, and Ruth says, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor from following after thee." Here was a Moabitess damsel who undoubtedly was converted to Judaism. She had already turned from her gods, her heathen gods. And here is her mother-in-law saying, "Go back to your country. Go back to your people. Go back to your gods." You see, she was in bitterness of soul. She couldn't make Ruth any promises. She says, I'm old. There are no other sons in my womb. I'm old. You need to go back to your people. You need to go back to your country. You need to go back to your gods. Verse 18 says, chapter 1, when she saw that she was steadfastly determined to go with her, then she ceased speaking unto her. Because God was going to do something for this damsel. God was going to do something for this young woman, this young widow. And she had the faith to believe. And see, we can see the sovereign will of God being worked out in her decisions, in her loyalty, in her steadfast devotion. She did not want to return. Where you're going, I'm going. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. I don't want to go back to the gods. I want your God. I want the God who has visited Bethlehem and has brought them bread again. That's the God I want. I want the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God that I want. If you listen to her language, she's not using the language of the Moabites. She's using the language of the Bible. She's using the language of the Jewish people. She said, "The Lord, Jehovah." Look at her words. "Jehovah, do so to me and more, if aught but death separate us. I'm going with you. I'm going to Bethlehem. I'm going to the house of bread." Ruth was steadfast. She knew exactly what she wanted. But she had to deal with Naomi. And Naomi, a beautiful person, but oh, she had some problems. First of all, when she went back, the women welcomed her. "This is Naomi." She said, "Don't call me Naomi." Naomi means pleasantness. Naomi means the pleasant one. She said, "Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara. Call me bitter." She was in bitterness of soul. "For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full and I came back empty. Why call me Naomi, seeing that God has testified against me?" Back to Bethlehem. She thought she was coming home empty. She was more full than she recognized. The women said to her, this is after the birth of Ruth's son, "You have a daughter-in-law that loves you." Empty? "She is more to you than seven sons. Empty. Her late husband had a kinsman who was a mighty man of wealth. Yet she says, I am back home, I'm empty. Ruth loved Naomi. She loved her dear and she was devoted to her. She was not empty, but she was short-sighted. The blessings were all around her. Now she's back home. There is bread again in Bethlehem. The Lord had removed the judgment from them. And God was about to do something new. God was going to unfold his purposes. You know, one hymn writer says, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. And Naomi was about to discover that. Because God was working out his sovereign will. Look at all the blessings that she received. Ruth was able to go out and glean in the field of Boaz. Ruth was able to go out and bring home some grain. She found favor in the eyes of the mighty man of wealth. Look at God's purpose as it unfolds before us. We don't have the time to go into the whole story, but here comes Boaz, and here comes Ruth. By this time, Naomi remembers that there is a kinsman. She said, you can go and you can glean in his field because he is a near kinsman. He is related. And Ruth did as Naomi had suggested. She went and she, not only did she glean in his field, but she went and she lay at his feet. She said, Don't worry, your family, we're related. Boaz said, I know we're related, but there is a kinsman that is nearer than I. He has got the first choice. He has the right of redemption. And if he will not redeem that which is Elimelech's, if he doesn't redeem what is his right, then I am next of kin. So he gave the kinsman his option. You have the right to redeem. Oh, he says, okay, I'll redeem it. He said, whenever you redeem that which is Elimelech's, you have to redeem Ruth as well. He said, oh, my, I can't do that. Lest I mar my inheritance. I can't redeem it. You redeem it for me. And so they made the contract. They did whatever had to be done. Doesn't that remind us of something? It reminds us of the law. There's a kinsman that is nearer than I. But he couldn't redeem. Romans 8 tells us, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a kinsman that is nearer than I, but he couldn't redeem. He couldn't redeem. Ruth and Boaz They're together now. They are husband and wife. Why am I saying this? Because I'm showing, trying to show the unfolding of God's will. And Boaz and Ruth, they came together and they had a son. I like how the book of Ruth puts it, you know. They had a son whose name was Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. Behold, born unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Bethlehem. That's where it happened. Naomi now is holding Obed in her arms. She's holding the grandfather of David. That might not sound like much to you, beloved, but I see here the unfolding of God's will, God's purposes, God working out his sovereign will. Through this devoted Moabitess damsel, she is now the great-grandmother of David the king. Who is David? David is the king of Israel. He is also the line through which the Messiah would come. To you is born this day in the city of David. To you in David's land this day is born of David's line a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign. Naomi, no longer bitter. Now she's comforted because now she is nursed to this baby boy, who would be the grandfather of King David. And go down through the line, beloved, all down through the line. You see God's sovereign will. I see also here in the sovereign will of God how he can bring a Moabitess damsel. If you really think of who Ruth was, she was from a cursed people. She was from the family that started with Lot and his daughter out of Sodom when they got out of Sodom. That's who Ruth was. That's where she came from. Boaz. He was the son, most believe that he was the son of the harlot, Rahab. You read the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ and you find them both mentioned. The only word I can find for that is grace. Grace. That's why you and I are in the family of God. Grace, we were without a claim on the commonwealth of Israel. God grafted us in. This wild olive branch he grafted us in. It's called grace. God's unmerited favor. The damsel says, I'm not going. I'm not going back. I want your people to be my people. I want to be part of the people of God. I want your God to be my God. When God wanted a king, after the failure of Saul, He said to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, get the oil in that skin. Get the oil ready. I am sending you where? I'm sending you to the house of Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have chosen me a king from among his sons. The great-grandson of Ruth. A son. That's my choice. But you have to go to the Bethlehemite. You got to go to Bethlehem. The house of Jesse. We read in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 that he was from the stem of Jesse. Ruth, you're not empty. You're better off than when you left. Much better off. Because you have a daughter-in-law that loves you and who is better to you than seven sons. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come, adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Bethlehem, place of sorrow, place of sovereignty. It is also a place of salvation. A place of salvation promised way back in the Old Testament. I like the way it's put in the book of Micah. Place of salvation. Chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. When we think of the incarnation, beloved, this was God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was the beginning of the incarnation. It was not the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He is eternally God. He didn't begin at Bethlehem, you know. That's where the incarnation took place. He's from everlasting. It tells us that he is deity. It tells us that he is the everlasting Father, as we have in Isaiah chapter 9. When we come to Bethlehem, beloved, don't let's think we're coming to some ordinary baby there. When we come to Bethlehem, we have to come with the attitude and with the conviction that the wise men came, that says, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They want to leave Christ out of Christmas now. They don't have any use for him now that they have made all the money, now that they have gotten all that they want. They want to eliminate him. I got news for them. I got news for the ACLU. I got news for all these people. Christmas did not begin at the North Pole. It began at Bethlehem. Take that. The bank. Began at Bethlehem. Wise men said, let us go even unto Bethlehem. See this thing which has come to pass. I make a deal with these people, you know. I make a deal with them. All these big businesses that Only can tell you happy holidays. You can't say Merry Christmas. I say I make a deal with you. I'll say happy holidays if you close down on Black Friday. I make a deal with you. You think they'll go for that? You know what Black Friday is? You never heard about Black Friday? Oh, come on. The day after Thanksgiving. That's when they make all their money. Number one shopping day. You want me to say happy holiday? You close down on Black Friday. They won't go for that. I won't go for it either. Because I believe in Christmas. I believe in the Christ of Christmas. I believe in a place called Bethlehem, where the Virgin brought forth a son and called his name Emmanuel. God with us. That's who he was. God in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. That's who he is. God in the flesh. Came down and he tabernacled with us for 33 years. But we need to go to Bethlehem. We need to go with the attitude of the wise men. They went to worship. You don't go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord brought, what my family brought me, what my friends bought me. No, we need to go to Bethlehem to worship. And when the wise men found him, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. Herod and all Jerusalem were troubled at the news. The wise men, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I want to be in that group. So Joseph and Mary, they came to Bethlehem. You know, this child could not be born. Before I go any further here. This child could not be born in Nazareth. Even though the Pharisee says, he came from Nazareth, and no good thing could come out of Nazareth. No, that's not where he came from. Listen to what it says to Joseph. He went to Bethlehem to be registered. Why? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. Ruth? You got it, Ruth? Not Ruth. Naomi, you got it? When you held Obed in your arms, you were holding David's grandfather. He was of the house and lineage of David. Yes, he was. Christ was born in Bethlehem. He was born in the city of David. Don't let them tell you he was born in Nazareth and he was a Nazarene. He was called a Nazarene because he lived there, but he was born in Bethlehem. The scribes knew it, and that's what they said to Herod. Thus and thus it is written, thou Bethlehem, though thou be little among the nations, yet out of thee shall he come forth that shall be governor, a ruler of my people. He didn't come from the North Pole. He came to Bethlehem. Angels came. Not only did Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem to be registered, and there she brought forth her firstborn son, but the angels came to Bethlehem. It says to the country to announce his birth, Bethlehem. The shepherds, after they heard from the angels, they came to Bethlehem. The wise men. They first went to Jerusalem, but they found out it was Bethlehem. And they made their way to Bethlehem. Oh, beloved, let us go to Bethlehem this Christmas. Let's go in again. We've been there before. Let's go again this year and see this great thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Christ the Savior is born. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to where? To Bethlehem, the house of bread. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us. That's worship. Let us adore him, Christ the Lord. God bless his word and encourage your hearts this Christmas season. When they say happy holiday, you say Merry Christmas in return. That's what I do. Merry Christmas. May God bless this assembly and bless his people. Father, we thank thee for this time we spent together. We thank thee that we have a reason to celebrate this season, because God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We thank thee for this glorious message, the message of the incarnation. God became a man and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. Oh, we thank thee for this wonderful story. We can't explain it. As we would say, as one of all, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. But we believe it. And we thank thee that we know the Christ of Christmas. Direct our thoughts now and part us with thy blessing resting upon us. And be with thy people everywhere. And may the true meaning of Christmas get a hold of the hearts and minds of people everywhere. And may they too be turned from darkness into light. We pray and give thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.